I can't believe you're here with me right now. I'm going to assume this isn't the first time you've clicked on a drunk and dangerous before. And if you have, turn back now and save yourself. There's no saving the rest of us. Because if you have been listening to this entire series and you, like me, are back again, then welcome to hell. For the rest of you, the Latin above the door was basically, get the fuck out now. For the rest of us, it says, David Bramer lives here, so come on in. There's plenty of space eggs. Over easy, of course. I like my reconstituted space eggs to be silky smooth in the middle somehow. Reconstituted eggs of the future, which is like, what, 3 years from now? 4? I don't remember. Who cares? 15? It wasn't very many. Enough for me to say, come on, fuck you. There's no way this happens in like a handful of years. Anyway, where we last left off, and I had to look this up because I wasn't sure, they have discovered a bunch of ships. I remember this part irritating me. It was like Battlefield Earth. That's it. I'm sorry if you might have guessed, but yes, I am intoxicated, and I'm finally recording in my new closet. Thank you all. Applause. Insert applause here. I'm sure you're applauding for me. I can hear it. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry, that's terrible. And my punishment for that obnoxiousness will be to continue this story. And you all get to hear me suffer too. So, it'll be fun for everybody. They found all these ships, much like Battlefield Earth, that were still somehow intact and in perfect working condition after 120,000 years. How? Because everything was airtight. Is airtight. Hangars airtight, the aircraft are airtight. That has to be the reason. That's incredible. We learn something every day, it seems like. You can't just say, wow, that's amazing. That defies all logic, and yet, no, you can't just hand wave this shit away. I mean, I guess you can. You wrote this story, but fuck you. There's just so much hand waving in this story. And if you haven't listened before, I might remind you, this is a grown man writing this. I saw in one of the last parts, someone was like, oh, this must be written by a child. I need to remind anybody listening, this is written by a fully grown man with adult age children. This is an adult. This is the second book of his self-published series. This is an adult. I know it's hard to believe. And not just an adult, but a professional. An educated professional, which, who knows? I like to think maybe brain injury. It's not very nice, but he's never going to listen to this. And if you do, I'm sorry. I'm sure you're a lovely man. Editing is your friend. Okay, so apparently after 120,000 years, if a ship is airtight, it'll be fine. Cars, exactly the same. Put your car in a vacuum. It'll be fine. After a millennia, you'll be good to go. It doesn't degrade if it's airtight, ever. Just vacuum seal that shit in a Ziploc bag. It's incredible. We learn something new every day, it seems like.
Okay, everyone. Let's split up and go look for life support chambers, said David. There might be some.
Well, no shit. What do you think? It's like a snipe hunt. Go look for the life support chambers. It was just a social experiment, bro. You learn something new every day, it seems like.
So keep your eyes peeled and look for hidden doors. Let's just see what's down here. This just might take some time.
Everyone headed off in their own direction. The hangar was... I'd like to think of somebody being like an NPC and just walking into the wall and just continue. This is my direction. Don't you dare judge me. The hangar was a pretty good size facility. And there were rooms all around the hangar section where the aircraft were. Back on the Aurora, the Admiral was receiving a communique from Earth and the Paulines. The Archons and the Thracians have attacked the Paulines all over the universe in large numbers. I guess we're just finding this out. Nobody's talking. He's just telling us. And that's terrible. The poor Paulines. That's awful. Aren't they the goat ear people? I'm trying to remember. They're not the big-headed gray ones, are they? They're the goat ones, weren't they? I don't know. I don't remember. Anyway, oh no! The Narcos and the Thracians attack the Paulines all over the universe in large numbers. They were now at war everywhere with the Paulines, where they had ships. There was still no sign of the Archons or Thracians in our solar system. But that doesn't mean they aren't coming or hiding out there somewhere. They do have cloaking devices. They weren't attacking Cybon yet, either. Probably because the Paulines are too strong there, or they're still in the planning mode. You're the one writing this. You're the author. Why are you being like, I don't know? You're the one fucking writing this. Don't pretend you don't know. I'm sure maybe it's just me, but that irritates the fuck out of me. Stop pretending. Oh, coy. Oh, boy, what could happen? Shut up. You fucking know. I will calm down. It was the stress of moving. And then this attack from the Archons and the Thracians has just pushed me over the edge. I'm feeling like a Pauline. I'm getting attacked on all sides. Okay. Who knows what could happen? Oopsie doodle, I don't. The Paulines said they have over 2,000 ships. So I bet that's why the Paulines haven't been attacked on their home planet. I hope the Paulines kick their butts before they get here. Well said, author. If you want it to happen, you know you can write it. That's the magic of writing. You can write whatever you want. Anyway, I'd write a better book than this, no offense, but it's really not hard. Most children could. I would imagine it. That's why at first my assumption was that it was written by a child, because it reads as if it was written by a child. And I assure you it is not. This guy goes into great detail. I do not believe. I guess it could be like a really elaborate ruse, but he doesn't write like someone who's capable of a really elaborate ruse. So maybe I'm just falling for the trap, in which case, well done. What a weird trap to set. I'm only pretending to be a terrible author. Anyway, I hope they kick their butts. The universe be a better place without the Narcos. In the communique, Earth said that the Paulines were going to send some ships, but only when there is positive confirmation that the Archons or Thracians are in the Earth's solar system. They're only attacking the Paolines, and the Paolines do not want to drag Earth into this unless the Archons do, like last time. They could have caused a lot of damage if they hit here by surprise. At least we have been warned, thank God. This is still the author talking to himself. I don't understand who the author is meant to represent in this story. He writes as if he's actually on board the ship. But it's not things that David is thinking, because you'd think it's maybe somebody's thinking it. But then it says, back on Mars. Oh, meanwhile, back on Mars, David and the rest of the expedition was going through every room, and most of them had to be broke into. Then David received a communique from one of his men, Sergeant McCain, and lo and behold, they found more life support chambers. Shock and awe. Make sure you tell them that you've colonized their planet. They'll be so happy. They'll love it. It's a planet of submissives. Who would have guessed? They love being owned. Own me harder, Earth Daddy. Fuck, where was I? Okay. Let's see. Bend me over, Earth Daddy. All right. They found the life support chambers. Everyone rushed over to them, and there must have been a couple of hundred more Martians and a little over 100 more different types of animals. David contacted the Aurora and told Admiral Benson, and he told Vinal. Vinal was so excited and happy that we found more Martians, and you could tell he loved us. You could tell he loved us if he didn't say it. It's kind of a big leap. You could totally tell he loved me. He didn't say it, but like, you know, interpretive dance. It's like, okay, you're going to try to move in with him too? You're going to copy his apartment key when he's not looking? Be like, look, he didn't tell me to do it, but like, I could sense it. Like in his eyes, like, you know how sometimes somebody, like, looks at you and they give you that hint that's, like, break into my house. Like, I want you to smell my hair while I'm sleeping. I'm really lonely in my twin-sized bed. Twin means two, which, like, get the fuck in here, bitch. And you can just see it in their eyes. And they're just asking for your order. Like, it's crazy. Anyway, call me. Oh God, oh yeah, you could totally tell he loved us. He got a big boner. Well, the Admiral sent down 8 more shuttles, and we were getting pretty good at this. One by one, we would open the life supports, and we had oxygen ready, and off they went. When one shuttle was full, it went to the Aurora, and then it would empty out and come right back for another load. Oh, Aurora, you dirty girl. One after another for the next 10 hours until they were done. Damn, that's a gangbang of ships. Just load after load. That's got to be a record. Make sure that ship was hydrated. Until they were done. And the Admiral was with Vinal in the hospital helping out all that they could. So were a lot of the Martians, those that were well enough. It was a good thing that we had a full crew. Everyone was working like clockwork. All of the shuttles were starting to arrive back at the Aurora. Just about everyone headed straight for their home. Everyone was so beat. David arrived back to his place. He came in and noticed that Heather had gone and left a note on the monitor. The note said how she really enjoyed the last 2 days, but she didn't want to force herself onto me. David was kind of hoping that Heather was here, but he understood. Why aren't we hearing this from David? Why are we hearing it from the narrator? Narrator, who the fuck are you in this? You keep saying we like you're on the ship, but you're not David. Who are you? He's just a gaseous cloud that knows everything. He's a big wandering space fart. But apparently he's telling us how David feels, just like David's telling us how the Martians feel. He just looks at him and he can tell. Oh, yeah. Let's see. David was kind of hoping Heather was here, but he understood. And David was also figuring that Heather would probably want to get to know her new place, and I don't blame her. Me either. He fucking wrote her. Yeah, I don't blame her either. And if I draw a shitty drawing, I'm like, fucking asshole, look at what that drawing did. It's me and my hand. It's me and my... It's a user error. Let's see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. David went ahead and grabbed something to eat and sat down and started watching their Aurora News Hour. They were calling it the Daily News, but they changed it when we named the ship the Aurora. Plus also, like, the Daily News was taken and they were sued. So they changed the name of the Daily News to the Aurora News Hour. You already told us they did that. I didn't forget it. David went ahead and ate, took a shower, and then went to bed for a good night's sleep. Not a good night's sleep. No, a good night's sleep. A night's sleep. You know, the sleep you take at night. He was absolutely beat. Of course he was. They were all beat. God damn it. Did you forget? He told his computer to wake him up in 6 hours, and about 2 minutes later, he was out like a light. The computer turned off all of the lights that were on. About 4 hours later, on the bridge, Commander Kraft said, "Lieutenant Courtney, I'm picking up multiple radiation trails coming from the constellation of Gamma Hydra, the dragon, sir. They are splitting up in 4 different directions. About a third of them are headed towards our solar system, sir." "Go to yellow alert, Lieutenant. Also, we need to contact Earth and tell them and alert the fleet. What's the ETA there, Lieutenant?" "Sir, on their present course and speed, they should be here in about 23 hours, sir. They are almost... They are coming at a high rate of speed. Almost light speed, sir. Sir, the Kawaka is returning to Earth for its defense." Then the lieutenant hit the yellow alert button. You could hear, H-E-R-E, the Navy whistle, and yellow lights were flashing everywhere on the ship. David woke up and hurried to get dressed. The Admiral was already up and was on his way to the bridge. In walked the Admiral and said,
"What do we have here, Commander?"
"Sir, we have multiple sightings of radiation trails all over the universe. About a third of them are headed in this direction." "They're coming from the Gamma Hydra, the dragon." Thank God they told me. I forgot. I was like, Gamma the who? Gummy the what? Hydrate the whom? Then Admiral Benson asked,
"Commander,
just how many are we talking about coming in this direction?" "Sir, there's over 75 ships headed this way." Admiral Benson said,
"75 ships coming this way? That's a lot of ships, Lieutenant."
Good analysis. "Admiral, let's contact the Paulines immediately, Lieutenant, and tell them what's going on."
"Yes, sir."
Minutes later, "Sir, I contacted the Paulines, and they verified what I told them, and they are sending a large armada to back us as we speak." "Man, I feel better knowing that," said the Admiral. "Man, bro, me too. Like, shit. The situation lit, though. I got a vape. I got a vape in celebration. Bro. This is sick. We're totes gonna survive." Oh, fuck.
Like, he takes it so nonchalantly. I'm like, shit, you're gonna be fine, though. Like, you're the one leading this shit. And you're like, nah, it's cool, though. Okay.
Okay, people. We've got to be on our toes on this one, or we're in a lot of trouble. Let's do it by the book. Lieutenant.
I was trying to be so serious. I'm sorry the way he says it.
I'm going to keep the voice. I'm going to keep the voice. I can do this.
Lieutenant, when them ships get close to our solar system, you hit that red alert.
That's right, when them ships.
Yes, sir.
Replied Lieutenant Courtney. About 20 minutes later, comma. Everyone is at battle station, sir, said the lieutenant.
Lieutenant, I want you to look around really good for possibly a couple of scout ships that might already be in our solar system hiding somewhere.
He sounds like those ads on Pornhub, like Horny MILF in your area. Maybe, possibly, could be hiding in a bush waiting for sex. Like, okay. Is this actually... Are you actually sending me somewhere?
I'm serious. Go look. They're out there. Yes, sir.
Comma, about 10 minutes went by.
Yes, sir. About 10 minutes went by.
There's no quotes. Why not?
Sir, I believe I might have something on the other side of Jupiter. There seems to be a lot of radiation emitting on the backside of Jupiter.
Hot damn. Is that why that ass so fat? Radiation poisoning. It's cancer.
That normally isn't...
Oh my god, okay. It is an abnormally large amount of radiation, sir, that normally isn't there.
Lieutenant, you keep a keen eye on Jupiter. The minute you see something come out from behind Jupiter, you go to red alert.
Yeah, when Jupiter takes a fat shit.
Yes, sir. I have set our computer to watch Jupiter too, sir. If there is any kind of movement, the computer will go to full red alert immediately, sir. Sir, 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 sir. Admiral, the Lunar Base 3 was en route to Jupiter. It is approximately 3/4 of the way there. Lieutenant! Tell the Lunar Base 3 to return to Earth and set up a defensive position with Lunar Base 2 as soon as possible. Yes, sir.
Finally, David walked into the bridge and went over and said,
I'll take over my...
I'm sorry. Oh, it's just such an abrupt change. You know, I think I can get through this if I hit this vape one more time. I can feel it. You know, my parents gave me shit for booing them. I called my mom finally. I'm like, oh, I haven't talked to her in a while. She doesn't call me, by the way. It's my job to call her. So I called her like, hey, what's up? And of course, during the course of the conversation, like, I moved here, I'm safe. During the course of the conversation, she's like, hey, you told your patrons to boo us.
Boo her again. Do it. I'm telling him, Mom, I'm doubling down. Eat it. Eat those boos. Ah, eat them for breakfast. Nom, 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 nom.
You were already disappointed in me. It can't go any lower. I'm already in the gutter
where you gave birth to me.
Anyway, about Jupiter's fat ass. Right, okay, let's see. Lieutenant. Yeah, David, that's it.
I'll take over my station now, Lieutenant.
David sat down and started monitoring his station.
Hello, Commander. I'm glad you're on...
Oh, yeah, wait, they're talking to him because he's perfect and God, okay. Hello, Commander, I'm glad you're on the bridge. We could use you right now. We have just spotted a
possible couple of Archon ships on the other side of Jupiter, and there are about 75 ships headed this way from the constellation of Gamma Hydra. David raised his eyebrows and gave a worried look.
Oh, Mamma mia!
They are attacking the Paulines all over the place! To the left, to the right. I have just instructed the lieutenant to go to red alert the minute something comes out from behind Jupiter. And he's like, no, I just told my computer to do it. I'm taking a nap. The ETA of the other Archon ships is about 23 hours away. We told the Paulines, and they are sending an armada of warships to come and help us. Thanks for the recap from page ago. When David heard that last part, you could tell from the look on his face that he relaxed a lot after hearing about the Paulines coming to help.
Wow, Admiral. I only slept for about 4 hours. Oh, thank God for the Paulines.
Now he's not even going to try. He's going to be like,
they'll fix it for me.
It's like NATO in the U.S. Come on.
They are heaven sent. A lot sure does go on around here when you sleep.
Yeah, wars are starting and shit. Wacky. Then David kept his eye on his instruments and didn't take them off. Didn't take the instruments off, or his eye is doubled. What a fucking hell is that? Then he's seen all of the Pauline ships and their radiation trails. Note, none of the theirs are ever correct. I'm just putting it out there. They were headed this way.
Sir, I am showing a large armada of ships coming from the Antares region. They're going 4 times the speed of light, sir. It looks like about 50 ships, sir. They were farther away from us, sir, than the Archons, but the Paulines will be here 1 hour before they do, sir. That doesn't make sense.
1 hour before they do. They'll be here 1 hour before they do. What does that fucking mean? Be here before they do.
Very good, Commander. Lieutenant Courtney, contact the armory and see if that new gun is on active duty at present.
It's a soldier now.
I'm on it now, sir. A couple of minutes later, the lieutenant said, sir, the armory has confirmed that the big gun is up and working. But he advised us that we would have to rotate the ship like the old tanks used to be until we can line up the target. He hates D's in words for some reason. We only have a 30-degree play that we can target a ship down here because we are round.
Comma. That's it. That's the first, because we are round.
But other than that, they couldn't wait to fire the Martian weapon at the Archons.
So they went from a sentence, and then a comma, and then just the narrator's statement on the situation. This is not the way to write. If you were listening to this, author, this is why I give you shit. This is exactly why. It is too bad to be a troll. Like, the writing is too bad to be trolling. It is... That's how you know, because it's boring. It's not like, oh, look how zany a bad writer I am. Like other stuff that is arguably possibly fake or made up, you know, as a joke. This is just boring and atrociously bad. And, you know, as you've learned, if you're still debating this, shame on you. Get better opinions. I mean, you're already on here, so how good can they get? Okay. Yeah, they're round. It's only like 30-degree play down there. Because of the roundness. The Admiral started laughing.
and said, I sure feel better having that Martian gun on board. Yeah, good thing you didn't have to actually do anything. Good thing the writer was there to help. David said out loud,
Me too, sir.
Plus, the Admiral was also happy about putting the big guns on Earth. He knew now that it was the right thing to do. Stealing was always the right thing to do. What are you doing? Why are you asking questions? You could tell the Admiral couldn't wait to fire that weapon, too. It was our ace in the hole card. He was a little worried. It was our ace in the hole card. I'm sorry. Can I just... I need a second for the stupidity of that. He was our ace in the hole card. You know, you got your ace and your ace in the hole card. Your ace card and your ace in the hole card. What is it? Don't ask. Just in a hole. Don't play it too soon or you'll be an acehole. I'm sorry. I'm the acehole now. He was a little worried that we hadn't test fired it yet, and the fact that it's over 120,000 years old. Me too! Me fucking too! It's 120,000 years old, and you didn't bother test firing it. Yeah, okay. You're lucky this writer wants this to work. In reality, where we actually live, this would never fucking happen. To the point where the werewolves and witches and vampires in my audios are more realistic. Because they're supposed to be supernatural. You're being like, and then it was the air. Like, is there different physics in your universe? What is happening? What is it fueled by? What? You're not testing a 120,000-year-old weapon. It's like going to the museum. It's going to work. And that's like, should we test it? No, fuck you. That makes too much sense. It's not exciting enough. So yeah, 120,000 years old. The Admiral had a good hunch it was going to work, though. Somehow all of the other weapons did. Huh. That's weird. That's like, I mean, it's almost like bad writing, but there's no way that's possible. It's got to be something else. God must just love him because David's magic. Okay. Then the Admiral had Lieutenant Courtney put him on the loudspeaker throughout the ship. The Admiral proceeded to tell everyone what we were all facing. Everyone felt that we had a good chance to win this because of the Paulines, and all of their warships were headed this way. We were a little outnumbered, but not when you see that we have all of these moon ships. We figured that one moon ship is equal to two of their ships, easily. Yes, that's how you can tell who's outnumbered. How big is your ship? Not the weapons on board, not the maneuverability or the shield defense, not with the size. This guy is obsessed with the size. He is obsessed with it. You would think a bigger ship in a situation like this, unless it was incredibly well defended, would be much worse because this thing could maneuver around and just, you know, fucking run around your ship and shoot the fucking shit out of it. I don't think it'd be better to have one giant ship. I would pick the two smaller ships based on size alone and assumed maneuverability. But apparently I'm wrong, and the bigger the ship, the better. I'm just not a size queen like David. Let's see. Because every time the Archons take on the Paulines, they lose two or three of their ships to one of the Paulines' ships. Have you ever asked the Paulines what they're doing, or did you just take their shit and be like, ha ha, we don't have to try or test fire these. We're good to go. Oh, God. Back on Mars, Captain Dopar was in charge of the second shift on the expedition.
They suddenly found another big gun. Suddenly. Whoopsie, there's a big gun. Where'd it come from? It's like when the police show up. Oh no, you found more drugs. Where'd that come from? Suddenly drugs. Suddenly big gun. They also found some more handheld weapons. They called the Aurora and told them, and the Admiral asked them to get that big gun operating as soon as possible because of our new guests that are coming. Then, the Admiral updated Captain Dopar on what was all happening. Captain Dopar was turning out to be not only a loyal soldier, but a great ace in the hole. Oh, he learned to not put card at the end of it. Our mocking fixed it. He was a blessing on anything he would help at. The Paulines were so intelligent. The Admiral felt we were so lucky just for even knowing them. Suddenly, the ship went red alert. The Admiral said,
"That wasn't me."
Then David said,
"No, sir, it was my sensors at my station. Sir, the Acorns must know we're on to them. They're headed for the Lunar Base 3, sir."
I thought they were going to be there in like 23 hours.
"Everyone, it's very important to follow my orders to the letter from here on out."
Whereas before, he could skirt his orders. And he didn't really give a fuck.
"Lieutenant Fisher set a course to intercept the Acorns at light 4 speed. Don't worry, people. We have a very good chance we could win this one."
That is, you are the worst leader I've ever. "We have a very good chance? Wow. Okay. No. That is the worst, like, pump-up speech ever. You could do it, maybe, I guess. I'll root for you. Wow, I really feel like I can do it. Thanks. Maybe we will." He's like, shrugs. You give him a thumbs up, he just kind of shrugs at you and, like, checks his phone.
"Sir, course plotted and our ETA is 11 minutes, sir."
Then the Aurora started pulling out away from Mars on 1/3 impulse, and as it reached a certain distance away from Mars, it vanished into a flash of light.
"Admiral, there are 5 Archon ships headed for the LB-3, and the Lunar Base 3 is stopped and is split into 3 sections and is at battle station, sir."
One fucking sentence.
"Sir, ETA is 3 minutes, said Lieutenant Fisher. "The Archons are real close to the LB-3. They will get there before us, sir."
"Lieutenant Parsons, prepare to fire all weapons according to which side of the ship our enemies are on, except for the big gun. Lieutenant Parsons, you will have to target the big gun by communique between you and the armory. When we are under fire, you coordinate with the armory on targeting the Archon ships." "Lieutenant Parsons..."
You've literally, the last 3 things were all addressed to him. You don't have to say his name in the beginning of each sentence if you're, like, facing him and talking to him. Are we sure you haven't been taken over by an imposter? That would make me so uncomfortable. By the way, and also not just Parsons, Lieutenant Parsons, we need to know.
"You will have to target..."
Oh yeah, let's see where it is at the bottom. Okay, it was the first one, second one, third one.
"Lieutenant Parsons, it will be up to you to say fire to the armory."
"Sir, ETA to the Archons in 1 minute, sir."
"Okay, everybody, let's get ready to rumble."
"Sir, the Archons have engaged on the LB-3 and has opened fire on it, sir. The LB-3 has returned fire on the Archon, sir."
"Lieutenant Parsons, start trying to get locked in for a shot at this angle and distance with the big gun."
You know it's better because it's bigger.
Tell me when we can fire the big gun at the Archons.
Sir, three of the Archon ships has veered off of the LB-3 and is heading our way, sir. And is heading... Oh, my God. Has and is? No. Have... Have and are... Sir, we believe we have a lock on one of the two ships that are attacking the LB-3.
Fire that weapon, Lieutenant Parsons!
The lieutenant said, yes, sir, and told the armory to fire the weapon. There was no recoil. It was a yellow beam, and it hit the target, and 3 seconds later, it exploded. That's one sentence with no commas. You're all very welcome. I'll read it one more time, in case it was a little, anticlimactic. There was no recoil. It was a yellow beam, and it hit the target, and 3 seconds later, it exploded. Then the Admiral said,
I love that weapon.
Then he said, I'll stop and get ready to fire all weapons. Suddenly, the other Acorn ship that was attacking the LB-3 ceased, fired, and started drifting. Then the Archon ships reached the Aurora and opened, fired on the Aurora, and one of them turned and went back toward the LB-3, and there was only two fighting the Aurora. Then the Admiral immediately said, fire all weapons that you can on this side of the ship unless they move around to our backside. Yes, don't keep firing if they move into empty space. You wouldn't think you'd have to tell them, but you gotta tell all of them. Hypoxia, it's a big deal. The Martians don't realize because they're not, you know, they don't need all this oxygen. Let's see, where was I? Yeah. The Aurora opened up with all they had. Lieutenant Parsons was aligned and ready. He says the number two. Ready to fire. Editing is our friend. I'm ready to edit. Is it two O's or a W O? That's what fucking editing is for. And there was only two fighting the Aurora. Oh, yeah, there was two. Yeah, they were fighting two. Then the Admiral immediately said, oh, yeah, they ready to fire the big gun with the two. Maybe because there were two ships and ready to fire, maybe the two were ready to fire the big gun. Can I save it? I don't know if I can. Too ready to fire the big gun? Maybe there are two people. Who knows? Lieutenant Parsons split in twain. Then she said, oh, is a she? Who is she? Fucking knows. Said, fire the big gun! Suddenly it fired. And 3 seconds later, the ship exploded, but this time it was too close and the explosion blew the Aurora back about a mile in space, but their shields held up. There was some minor damage, though. It did the same thing to the other Archon ship. It blew them back about a mile, but they wouldn't stop firing at the Aurora. So the Admiral said, do you have the other ship lined up yet, Lieutenant Parsons? Sir, we have her locked in now. Fire that weapon, Lieutenant. The lieutenant told the armory to fire the weapon, and 3 seconds later, the Archon ship exploded. You can just count it down by your watch. Everyone cheered. Yay. Then the Admiral said, let's go help the LB-3 and get that other snake bastard. Not a rat bastard. They weren't far from the LB-3, and they were going at it with the last Archon ship. One of the sections of the LB-3 has taken a lot of hits and is in a lot of trouble at the moment, but they just kept firing all of their weapons. And suddenly it exploded, and all were lost in the base section of the LB-3. The other two sections just kept on firing at the Archon ship with all of their weapons. Then one of the last two sections were starting to drift, but it would not stop firing their weapons. As the Aurora was rushing toward the LB-3, the Admiral said, Lieutenant Parsons, do you have a lock on this last Archon ship? I do now, sir.
Fire that weapon, Lieutenant! And the Lieutenant told the armory to fire, and they fired. But they were still a little off their target, but when it finally started hitting the target, suddenly after about 12 seconds, the last Archon ship exploded. It was close to the LB-3, and it knocked back both of the sections that were left, but it looked like their shields held up. Then Lieutenant Courtney called the LB-3, and you could hear the lieutenant say, LB-3, this is the Aurora, are you okay? Then Admiral Feeney answered and said, yes, what's left of us is just fine now. Then everyone cheered again. And the Admiral said, let's go give them some help. Admiral, the Pauline's ETA is 5 hours away, and the Archons are about 5.5 hours away, sir. Lieutenant Courtney, I need a damage report on the Aurora and the LB-3. Yes, sir, a few minutes later. Admiral, okay. This is one sentence. Yes, sir, comma, a few minutes later. Admiral, I have the casualty report from the LB-3, sir. You fucker. I'm almost done with this. Thank fucking God, because that sentence. They lost 542 people and some 200 injuries. One of their sections have been totally destroyed, and one of the last two sections have engine damage, but the other section is okay, sir. The Aurora had no injuries, just little minor damage on the outside of the ship. I got so distracted. Oh, but there was no hull breach and shields were fine. Lieutenant Courtney, contact Admiral Feeney and see if we can still connect the last two sections of their ship together. We will put our tractor beam on them and then we will take them back to Mars with us for repairs. It doesn't matter if they cannot connect them or... if they cannot connect them or not. We can still put both of their ship sections on the tractor beam and take them to Mars with us. Yes, sir. Sir, they are trying to connect now. Then the Aurora decloaked out of light speed and then came in on half impulse. They came close to the LB-3 on quarter impulse, finally stopped in front of the LB-3. Yes, it's like braking. We understand. And just ram into it, or stop immediately. Just abruptly. The LB-3, sir, has firm connection to its other section. Open up a communique with Admiral Feeney on LB-3 and myself, Lieutenant. Hello, Admiral Feeney. How is the rest of your crew? Hello, Admiral Benson. Thanks to you and that new weapon of yours, you save our necks. I wish we had one of those Martian weapons. We probably wouldn't have lost a third of my crew. I know, Admiral Feeney. I'm sorry. We couldn't have got to you sooner. We got here as quick as we could. I know you did, Admiral. I lost my second-in-command and a lot of decent people, but they didn't die in vain. The crew of the LB-3 was really sad. Not me, though. Party time. And some of them were crying because they lost a lot of crew. Most of them friends and family. Admiral Feeney, the crew of the Aurora and myself are so sorry for your lose. We feel your sorrow. They died very bravely. I will note that in my captain's log. And all of you are going to get promoted. Oh my God, it's like that rumor in college. Like your roommate kills themselves and they give you A's. It's like that. Oh, my friends and family died. Oh, A's for this semester. Score! Yes, I amuse myself. I know that doesn't make up for all of your loses. But all of us feel your lose. You have our condolences, Admiral. Thank you, Admiral, for saving us, said Admiral Feeney. Then Admiral Benson said, anytime you need help, my friend, you just say the word. Now, we do not have much time, so I will now lock onto your ship with our tractor beam and take you back with us to Mars for repairs. Thanks again for everything, Admiral, said Admiral Feeney. Then the Aurora's tractor beam grabbed the LB-3, and they were headed back to Mars. Admiral Benson, you have a communique from the President. I'm patching you through on comm, sir.
Hello, Mr. President. How did you like the battle, sir?
Hello, Admiral Benson. That was a great victory, Admiral. We were all cheering on Earth for you and the LB-3. You don't know it yet, but you're famous on Earth. I also want you to thank everyone and give my condolences to all of the people that were lost. It was a costly battle, but all of the men and women on board the LB-3 and the Aurora are heroes on Earth, and the people that gave their lives will never be forgotten. I promises you this, Admiral.
Oh, he's drunk again.
They all died for the people on Earth and Mars. I'm going to call and tell the LB-3 the same thing after I talk to you. We will never forget your sacrifice. I also know that there's another battle that we are about to face. Our hopes and prayers are with all of you, and always remember this. We may be down on Earth, but our hearts and souls...
And the souls are spelled like the soles of your feet.
And Earth's futures with all you out there in space.
Do space feet, my head is in Earth. But my feet are on Mars, baby.
Remember this, that if you lose your lives fighting for our enemies, or fighting our enemies,
not for them, never mind.
Remember this.
I shouldn't drink for these calls.
If you lose your lives fighting our enemies, you will never be forgotten. This I promise you.
That Marion weapon.
That Marion weapon was God sent, wasn't it, Admiral? I'm sure glad we have two of them on Earth, thanks to you, Admiral, and your science officer, Commander Bramer.
Can't not jack him off for a call. We were just doing our job, sir. We also thank everyone on Earth for his or her prayers and support. Also they, it, and other... support. Now, sir, I guess we're at war with a race of people in another galaxy we don't even know. Sir, I'm just going to go back to Mars and set up a defensive posture between Earth and Mars, because we have two big gun weapons on Mars, and we have one on our ship. We could do a lot of damage to our enemy before they can get to you. But, Mr. President, if they outflank us... We will rush to Earth and defend you to the death, sir. Yeah, I bet you'll be there too, right? You're gonna die first? Or are you gonna send other people? Come on.
Thanks again, Admiral. We'll be rooting for you down here. So good luck and Godspeed, Admiral, and the gallant crew of the Aurora.
Transmission ended, sir. Sir, the Pauline fleet will be here in 1.5 hours. Sir, the Archon Armada is right behind them at 2 hours away, sir. Oh, wait, it was David, never mind. He doesn't have that voice, no.
Sir, the Archon Armada is right behind them at 2 hours away, sir,
said David, the little shit.
Sir,
our ETA to Mars is 3 minutes, sir. Lieutenant Fisher, let's orbit on this side of Mars, but... Let's put the LB-3 on the other side of Mars first, with the LB-1. They have a big gun on that side of the planet, and we have a big gun on our side. When they separate, there will be 5 ships that are armed with lasers and rockets over there on their side of Mars with 1 big gun. We have us over here with 2 big guns. One on Mars, and one on the Aurora. They have to go through us to get to Earth, and we are pretty well equipped. Earth has the 4 Pauline ships and 2 of the Martians' big guns on Earth. Also LB-2 that splits into 3 ships with lasers and rockets and sharks with grenades. I mean, come on. Everyone, everywhere did everything they could to prepare for a major battle. Everyone, everywhere did everything. Well done to everyone everywhere in the entire world. We did it, literally everyone. Congratulations, we all did everything we possibly could. Did I think it was possible after the response to coronavirus? Hell fucking no. But apparently everyone pulled together this time. Not a single person didn't do their job. Everywhere in the world. So, if we lose, really we can't say we didn't try hard enough. We tried our collective best. We even stole from the Martians, so that's really what's going to save our ass. Now, let's see. Everyone everywhere did everything they could to prepare for a major battle. Suddenly, flash after flash was appearing. There they were, all over the place. 20 moon ships surrounded Earth. The whole Earth cheered the Paulines on. The whole Earth. Also, whole and Earth are capitalized, like it's a name. Like Whole Foods. It's Whole Earth. I really do think that at this moment in time, everyone would have voted any Pauline as the next president if they were running. Who's saying this? The narrator, of course. It's everyone. They're clearly controlled by those brain, like, demon things or whatever. Like, clearly all of them are commanded by a hive mind, and it's finally worked because they're all working in unison. That's the only way this would work. Let's see. Yeah, the whole Earth. There were Pauline ships all over the solar system. They just kept coming, flash after flash. There were more than 50 ships. There was an excess of 500 Pauline ships all over our solar system. There was 50 radiation trails, but in groups of 10, the Paulines had tricked the Archons. Then suddenly, the Archons started to arrive. They had no idea there were so many Pauline ships. Until the last minute after they arrived, they immediately went under a massive attack. There were ships crashing everywhere on all of our planets and on all of their moons in the solar system. They were becoming grave sites. But they're grave sites. Like it's a grave thing to see. For all sorts of Archon ships, it was the ultimate of all battles won. That's when they realized that afterwards they would have to go everywhere to find survivors and prisoners. They didn't know where they were going to put the prisoners either. They knew that Earth would probably want them on Mars. The Admiral did not want to ruin Mars with the likes of them. Yeah, Earth is already ruined. Put them here. Then David noticed that the Archon sent another very large armada behind the first 75. There were so many trails coming this way from Gamma Hydra, the dragon, ETA 25 hours away.
Admiral, I'm showing masses of ships coming this way from the constellation of Gamma Hydra, the dragon, sir. There are more than I could count, Admiral. Computer estimates 642 ships, sir.
You can't count to 642. Thank you for the admission. There are more ships than I can count. It's 642. I'm going to leave it at there. With the knowledge that we have now that David Braemar cannot count to 642. I bet he stops at 69. Anyway, I'm stopping here before I go any more crazy. Thank you all so much for joining me, you sickos. Hopefully you enjoyed yourself as much as I did making fun of this. Don't forget to boo my parents in the comments below. And hopefully I will... Well, next time is the... Next Saturday is the live. So I guess we're going to do the live. Fuck yeah. All right, hopefully I'll see you there, and we will listen to some terrible, I'll read some terrible erotica, and you can suggest fucking categories for me to look up, and we can all scar ourselves together. So hopefully I will see you there. Otherwise, I will talk to you next time. All right, I love you guys. Bye. Mwah.